ESPN 102.5 The Game Morning Drive. Steve Lehman in for Derek Mason. Braden Gall here. Munson producing and on the ones and twos, spinning the hits for our next guest, Teron Davenport, who always has a comment about the music. Teron, your thoughts on Munson's selection today?
Oh, well, you know how we do it.
That's all he needed.
That's the song.
Teron, I know this seems like common sense, but we were just talking about how do you mask the issues in the secondary for the Tennessee Titans against a team with a lot of dynamic receivers and a dynamic quarterback? And the obvious and simple football answer is disrupt the pocket, pressure the quarterback, stop the run, make them one-dimensional. It's the same formula for football for 1,000 years. Are they capable with Harold Landry, Casey Simmons, Evans, Brown, all those guys, Dean Pease's blitzes, are they capable of doing that to help protect and cover the injuries in the secondary?
Well, that's the whole thing. I don't know if this is a week where you want to blitz, because Watson is such a good player when it comes to, you know, making that baseball turn and reversing out of the pocket and getting on the run that way. So you got to be careful when you blitz a guy like Watson. I think really the importance, like every week you want to have a pass rush, but I think this week it's more important to have a tiered pass rush. So you want to have one of your guys coming on the outside get, I don't know, eight yards deep. And then you want to have the other one, you know, coming from the opposite side get 6 to 7 yards deep. And then you have that pass rush in the inside, and that just kind of suffocates the pocket. And that's what you have to do for someone like Watson. You can't give him space to maneuver and operate. And even that guy getting that inside pass rush, it'll be very disciplined, right, where you can't open up a running lane because Watson will take it. So that's really the big thing. And you saw him step up in the pocket and make some plays down the field. That's what he specializes in. So you got to marry that with the DBs plastering and just sticking to the receivers throughout the all the way through the echo of the whistle.
TD, I'm very skeptical based off of what we've seen out there at practice so far this week that Adoree Jackson's going to be able to go again on Sunday, which would be big. If he's out, I guess first off, do you agree with that? But if he's out, who's the guy in the secondary, the one guy that you're going to be watching the most in those matchups to see how it plays out against a Hopkins and a Fuller and a Stills and all those guys from Houston?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the big issue with not having Adoree is you're losing that long speed, right? You're losing that guy that could turn and run step for step with Fuller and Stills. Mm-hmm. That's the big issue. So now, as defensive backs, you know, Tremaine Brock, LaShawn Sims, they're going to have to play off a little bit. You know, Ty Smith, they're going to have to play off a little bit, and that interrupts your opportunity to kind of knock off the timing by having press coverage. Because, I mean, listen, I wouldn't press against Kenny Stills or Will Fuller just because of their ability. Like, if they beat that press, then it's, you know, they could put their hand up like Randy Moss, and it's very likely to be touchdown. So you got to be careful there. So it definitely changes the way you could play those guys because, again, you know, not having Adoree who has all that natural speed, it hurts that secondary.
Teron Davenport joining us here from ESPN covering the Tennessee Titans. Derrick Henry's a guy who's going to play, as he said, he'd play with like half a leg. What do you expect to see from him? How much do you get from him? And how effective is he? Because we all saw the run. You know, when he had about 80 yards, he broke off a 25-yarder, but you could just tell he was in like third gear and he couldn't go to fourth or fifth gear. And he still ended up scoring on that drive, but he clearly was not 100%. What do you expect to get from him this weekend? And what is the risk in playing him and using him this weekend, you know, with two huge games still left on the schedule?
Well, yeah, I think you hit it right there. And he's kind of like a stick shift, right? And, well, now they go up to sixth gear. But, you know, he's kind of like that car that isn't able to get into that fifth and sixth gear. And you could see it. So I would say the explosive runs can be limited a little bit more. That may be something that they're going to have to deal with. And it's just when you have that hamstring, I mean, really the best thing is just rest and electronic stimulation. That's the best thing for it. So I don't think it should be too alarming that he didn't practice yesterday or Wednesday because they are resting it. And he was in there on the treadmill working on that. So I know that to be the case because we talked about that a little bit. And Derek just said, I mean, he said it, you know, I'm going to go. That's what he said. So he'll definitely be out there, but it's just those explosive runs. I think that's something that you're not going to see as much. And the thing is that's good with him is he's not too much of a stop and start type of running back. He's a guy that starts, right? You don't see him stopping and then cutting and then he'll make that one cut and go upfield. And that's it. So that can help him as opposed to, you know, being a guy like a LeSean McCoy or someone like that that, you know, has to rely on making so many cuts to get yards.
One of the encouraging things to me about him is he's using his physicality now. So if he doesn't even have the breakaway speed on the edge, he's still pounding people downhill. TD, A.J. Brown, obviously a monster game last week. He's had a remarkable rookie season. Is he the number one wide receiver on this team now? And how has he made such a splash as a rookie?
Yeah, I don't think there's a doubt that he's the number one wide receiver. It's funny, actually in the shower this morning, I was thinking about that, you know, just looking at this receiver core. And I was thinking about Corey Davis and wondering, you know, how he's going to continue to fit. And I just said, well, you know what? This team is in a good place because they have a 1 and a 1A. And that one is A.J. Brown. And the way that he's been able to fit, it's the confidence. He came into the league confident, right? He's always been a confident player. The guy is supremely talented. You know, he was drafted to play professional baseball as well. So there's no mistaking his ability to track the football is outstanding. And just him as a football player. But then what you're seeing is the confidence going from game to game, and not only from game to game, from play to play. And I talked to him about just how he's carrying one positive play over to the next one. And he said that's really a huge thing of confidence. But then he said in week 4 against the Falcons, everything started to slow down for him. And he always felt like he belonged in the league and he would be productive. But he says things start to slow down. And now you're just seeing that confidence skyrocket. And then the thing with him is he naturally has that dog in him, that mentality, that mindset, and he's an alpha. And you could tell, you know, in talking to him and watching him, the guy definitely is suited for the type of impact that he's making, you know, from a personality perspective, talent perspective, and even a study and work ethic perspective. You know, we talked a lot throughout the year about receivers that he watches. You know, Hopkins is one that he watches. Antonio Brown is one that he watches. You know, there are other guys like Chad Johnson, you know. So he's a student of the game. He loves football. And if you talk to Rob Moore, you could really tell that, the wide receiver coach, because, you know, Rob Moore is a guy that played ball himself. And he's working on him with little details as far as getting off the line, you know, not having so much chatter at the line, you know, just get off, stop making so many moves. And even being more explosive in and out of the breaks, at the top of the routes, create a separation, subtle push-offs and tips, it's really helping him. So there is an abundance of things that are putting this guy in a great place. And I think he's in a great situation because this team is throwing the football now, too.
Tron, I'm just glad that on draft night, there is tape and evidence of me calling him Anquan Boldin. I just am glad that there's actual evidence that I said that on the night they drafted him, that this is Anquan Boldin and that he's going to play like Anquan Boldin and the Titans are getting an Anquan Boldin player. I'm just glad there's evidence because no one's going to believe me otherwise because I'm wrong all the time about everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And I think last week that 16-yard touchdown really showed it, right?
Yeah.
Because you have Darrell Worley hitting him, and not only did A.J. Brown bounce off the tackle, Worley got hurt. You know, so the yards after the catch, and that's something, I mean, in February I was saying this dude, he was my number two receiver in this draft. You know, Kelvin Harmon was my number one. I really liked his game coming out of NC State. But A.J. Brown was my number one slot, number two overall. And I said – he and Paris Campbell are the best yards after catch receivers in this draft, and A.J. is showing that. I mean, that's his specialty, so strong through the catch, confident pass catcher. So,
yep.
I mean, we could go till tonight talking about him. That guy, there's a lot of positive with him.
A lot of confidence. Deebo Samuel, not too bad either. Shockingly, both Deebo Samuel and A.J. Brown, really good college players. Amazing how that works when you're a great player at a high level in college, and then you turn out to be a good player in the NFL. All right, Teron, what happens on Sunday? Give us a final score. I'm not really in the prediction business, but I'm going to make you do it.
Hey, that's fine. I'm going 30-24, and I think when you look at this offense, it continues to roll. I think Tannehill, which last week I predicted a 300-yard passing game, I don't think he has it this week, but I think he's in the high 250s, 270s, somewhere around there. And I think this is a big week for Jonnu Smith. So watch that. And like I said, 30-24, I think this Titans team wins. They take control of the AFC South division, and they have their own destiny in their hands.
There you go. Wow. Teron Davenport, man, I think that will be one hell of a story Monday morning, that's for sure.
Sure would.
Hey, man, appreciate it. Always a pleasure. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks. See you guys.
See you, Teron.
Teron Davenport, TD there, of course, with Chase McCabe on Friday. You got all kinds of good stuff. Teron all over the podcast, ESPN, writing. You know, you can see him in his nice, he's got his nice jackets on. You got nice jackets, too, when you're out working.
Dude, his blazer game is
very strong.
Awesome.
He's got the lapel flower going every time.
Man, Steve, one time, I can't remember what day this was, but you had on a tan peacoat, and I looked at that, and I was like, man, I've been obsessed with having a tan peacoat.
You know,
now.
These guys on TV, they have all the nicest jackets, man. You and TD both have very strong attire game. No question about it.
Well, thank you. To be mentioned in the same conversation as Teron when it comes to clothes is a high compliment.
No, I've used you in defending my attire with my wife before. I'm like, no. Steve Lehman says I can dress like this, and he's on TV all the time. So if he's on TV all the time dressing like this, then I know I can dress like this.
Okay, I don't know what you're wearing there that you're using me as your.
So we were at a Titans game one time, and I looked over and I said, hey, you can wear like a suit coat with like a nice pair of pants that doesn't match, and it still works, right? And you're like, yeah, you can totally do that. If you've got a nice suit jacket, you can wear that with like, because Nashville's, you know, Nashville business is not the same as like other markets' business.
Sure.
People wear like jeans to like business meetings in Nashville. And my wife's like, you can't wear that jacket. It's a suit with these pants. And I'm like, no, Steve Lehman says I can. So I
mean, it depends a little bit what you're going with. I wouldn't wear like a tan suit jacket with khaki chinos.
No.
You can't pull that off.
Dark jeans with
like
a tan jacket.
But if it's like a navy suit jacket or whatever, you can basically use it as like a blazer.
Right, exactly. Can you use suit jackets as blazers? And your answer was basically yes.
Yeah.
You can kind of do whatever you want these days.
Exactly.
Fashion. And you're a TV guy. No, I respect that.
That's exactly right.
Teron Davenport,
do whatever you want. Just own it.
Exactly.
Just own it.
If you miss any of the show, we have moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in the Apple or Spotify. Or log on to thegabenashville.com and find our daily audio, rate, review, and subscribe today. I want to ask you one more question about Derrick Henry, and then we'll get to the Preds and the power play. Hal Gill had something interesting to say about it yesterday, and it kind of came true last night again against Buffalo as the Preds lose 4-3. We'll get to all of that when we return on Morning Drive.